Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grant Master.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me is the man who is creating a one-man musical based off of the Ketchup song. It's Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and Rose Brick's Bachelor podcast.
Well, hello.
Hello there, Ronnie.
We were just talking about the Ketchup song while we were doing our little work meeting on the phone before we started recording. And you're right, it does stick in your head.
It's going to be in there for several hours. If you don't know what the Ketchup song is, be warned. Once it's in you, it's not coming out. It's a great, great song. Great, great, great song. Exciting day today because it's Tuesday. So if you had promised to see us next Tuesday, well, Tuesday has arrived. And today we're going to be talking about Orange County. We still have a few tickets left. In San Francisco. So if you want to see us live in San Francisco, then you better buy those tickets because as of yesterday, we were less than 100. I don't know where we're at today, but they're going to be going, gone. Our live shows have been absolutely amazing so far. Chicago, we just did last week. We did two amazing shows. Leanne Locken sort of surprised us by showing up and we brought her on stage. Nico came on stage in LA. We had, of course, Jeff Lewis and Gage, Edward and Jenny Poulos, and then Shannon Bedore surprised everyone. In New York, we had the cast of Summer House there. Not making any promises. It's more to say, we never know what shit's going to happen at our show. So
you never know what crappens.
Yeah, exactly. So just remember one thing. Dumb listeners don't buy tickets. Smart listeners buy tickets.
God, it kills me that that makes no sense. Cameron's line on Dallas. It makes me fucking crazy that it makes no sense. And it makes me more crazy every single week. Like, I can't get over it. It just boils up in me and it makes me more and more upset.
I love it. And sorry. I didn't really mean to call everyone dumb. I just was trying to, like, sort of speaking.
You're just tying it in. But guys, I have to make an announcement really quick. Right now, I blew my nose. Yeah. And, it smelled like cheese.
Wow.
That's weird, right? I don't know if I wiped my finger. Maybe I was eating Swiss cheese and I wiped it on a paper towel. Mm. But now I smell cheese at the end of my nose. And that's it's disgusting. Oh, so there you go. That's where I'm at today.
I once blew my nose and a hard booger came out. And it looked like it was like what Tamara's profile would look like if she was on a coin. It's like, okay, Tamara Pose, we're putting you on a coin.
And that's Tamara would look like Abraham Lincoln on the coin. She'd be a penny. Like last night they showed her
give a penny, take a penny, batch.
She's like at the bottom of a well. Like that's my dream. No, just kidding. That's such
wishing
a dark dream.
On a wishing well, kiss and tell, batch.
Kiss and tell, batch. Only gay on Thursdays, batch.
You're a penny, batch. Yes,
yeah, they showed a couple of shots of her last night where I was like, oh my God, maybe it's because we were just in Chicago and there was Abraham Lincoln's picture all over everything because I was, you know, we were staying in Lincoln Park. But I was like, that's Tamara.
How dare you sully the legacy of Abraham Lincoln with Tamara? How dare you?
It's like, what, I just is wanted this not a coming, bitch?
What?
She's all where are all the cars?
Where are all the cars in the Ford Theater, batch?
Freeing the Mias. The great legacy of Tamara Barney. Jesus Trainer is now free.
Proclamation. Anyway, batch. I don't
proclamate.
Like
that's disgusting.
Four okay, score and seven batches ago.
We're basically Looney Tunes today. It's going to be one of those days.
Well, we've already made references to the Gettysburg Address and the ketchup song. So,
in like 5 minutes.
And this is why people should come see us. This is why people should come see us, come see our live shows, because it's like this times 12.
Yeah, let's get on with this Real Housewives of Orange County, because it's only day two and we're already like this.
Yeah.
What's Thursday going to be like?
Oh, my God. Thursday with the Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere? I don't even know.
Holler my baller.
I may have to go out, get out of the state to cover that one.
That's all I wanted.
That's Siggy in that promo.
That promo.
That's
just laying
all
on the
I
ground.
If you haven't seen that promo, see it. It's so good.
So good. All right, so let's get on with some Real Housewives of Orange County, shall we, Bean?
Yeah, let's do that. This week's episode opens up with Deco and Peggy. They're getting dressed. Oh, Ronnie, just as you may have to steer the ship a little bit on this one, because I was watching last night but late, and so I got sleepy, and I fell asleep in the middle. And even though I watched the second half this morning, when I fall asleep watching a show, it's kind of like it like erases. It's like your computer dying before you got a chance to save the document. And so, like, it's like all hazy to me. So I'm just really relying on my notes. But you may have to like steer the ship a little bit.
Well,
but
don't worry. I've got a jumbled mess of misspelled bullshit right here to help us through.
So Deco and Peggy are getting dressed, and I wrote having quote unquote banter. I think they were just having one of those moments where they were just like oh, the cameras are on. Let's just be a hilarious couple talking about buttoning shirts and cufflinks.
Yeah, well, that's their thing. It's like, I will sit down, put on makeup, Deco talk about clothes.
Yeah.
Like, that's their, like, running thing, their couple thing. So she's sitting down, putting on makeup, and he's talking about clothes. And he's like,
I gotta decide what to wear to the ball thing.
Yeah.
How about some light pants and some beige and these flower shoes?
And she's like, what is these shoes? What is?
I don't like Louboutins.
Yeah.
The only reason to wear Louboutins is to show that you have Louboutins.
Hi, you have six black and white, like,
that's
Ferraris
exactly
or whatever,
what
Lamborghinis, you
exactly
idiot.
Exactly what I wrote, because she goes, they're loud. I'm like, louder than black and white cookie cars? I don't think so.
Ball shoes! They're ball shoes!
And she's like, yeah, you're loud.
They're loud.
You're loud.
They're like sarma that is cooked. Too loud.
So now Kelly, I wrote Kelly and Deco, so that's where my brain was. Kelly and Michael, he's like, what do I wear to this boat thing? And yeah. Kelly's like, you want to get your wrinkles out of your balls? Look. And she brings up the Scrotox
which
article.
Is very, very timely, considering how much we talked about it last week in Chicago.
Yeah, lots of Scrotox talk.
Yeah.
And Mike is like, well, I'll get my balls ironed when I sit down on the pot and they hit the toilet.
You know Kelly's going to be filling up that toilet bowl with extra water.
Who wants iron balls? Nobody. Okay? Some things are meant to not be ironed. They don't look better ironed.
It does. I don't understand that. You know, and how much time are you, like, spending in the balls? Like, what are you, like, are you doing a lot of ball licking in the boudoir? And if so, do the wrinkles really offend you that much?
Yeah, we're in Orange County. I get that you guys have money, but like, let's start concentrating on faces first. You know, it's baby steps to plastic surgery. Once your face is fixed, once you got a butt implant or whatever, you know, scrotums are like last.
Yeah, they really are last, and I don't think there's any guarantee that those wrinkles will stay out. They were
born. You don't want to be the first. You don't want to be the first person in town with Scrotox. It's like the first people with plastic surgery. Look how stupid they still look. They look like crazy people.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfected yet. You know, you need a lot of misshapen balls to pave the way before you.
I also want to feel my balls. You know, like when I scratch them, I want to feel the scratch.
I don't know. I just feel like it's so much concentration on balls, which is why we're going to talk about it for 20 minutes today, because I hate concentrating on balls.
There's a lot of balls.
Speaking of which, yeah, Lydia. Oh, we have a boat, and I thought it would be fun for a ball voyage. Like, she's still trying to get a laugh from that ball voyage.
Yeah, they get onto like a pre-boat before the main boat of the balls voyage party, and it's just her and Doug and this guy named Captain Luke. And they're having some sort of, it's supposed to be like a pre-date. Maybe it was cut out because surprisingly it wasn't that interesting. And Captain Luke's like, what? You're getting your balls cut off? That's crazy, brah.
I know. That's like the waiter who sits down at your table.
Yeah.
It's like hi, can we have our scene? How about that? It's romantic. We've got champagne. And they're kind of, whispering, like Lydia whispers. And he has a comment for everything. Hey, just drive the boat, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, but to be fair, do we really need to watch Doug and Lydia snack on an edible arrangement while they contemplate the last hours of his balls? It's just not compelling. This is not peak TV. This is Valley TV.
Yeah, it's really not. And also, if you have to take a boat to your boat, that means you're too poor to keep your boat docked by where you live. Even though I know that they really live in Newport and none of this is true, but I like thinking that they just have like a ghetto ass.
Yeah,
it's like Marina Del Rey Point
or something. It's like not as exciting. So they get onto the big boat and then they're greeting people, and Megan and Jim arrive first, and the boat people are like, if you have any questions, please ask us. And Jim's like, can I drive? They're like, ha ha ha. He's like, huh, that's a good one, Jim. You're so funny.
I wasn't kidding. When Megan and Jimmy are your first guests, you know it's going to be a good party. Yeah. Jimmy's like, they're going to have like little pizza Tostino things. Are they going to have Tostino rolls? Okay, I'm in. He basically just sat there and ate like little Tostino rolls.
Also, by the way, is it true that Megan had a baby? Because she has lost that baby weight and then some. I'm like, how did this woman have a baby in the beginning of the season? She was so skinny.
Well, that's like my favorite kind of lame conspiracy on the internet, because of course people on the internet are like, there's no way that she is breastfeeding, she's faking it, because some way that her boobs looked in a thing. I don't know, I liked it, but then even conspiracy theories about Megan bore me, and I love a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they are the dullest of the theories.
I was like, I can't get Edmonds. Also, yeah. Doug, where was Doug raised? Because Doug is one of the lamest people I've ever met. Putting the faux hawk aside, he's like, do guys have to take off their shoes to come on the boat too?
Yeah.
Because I think it's the heels that do the damage. Like, who are you? Where did you even come from? Go back there, boring person.
Do you not watch Below Deck? Do you not see the admonitions of the crew as people come on and with their shoes on?
Go back to the last city in America that sells magazines. Okay, Doug? Wherever you're from.
So Jim and Doug are like standing around talking about jerking
cum.
Off.
Yeah,
it's great. It's really, really great.
Yeah, Doug's like, oh, I'm so nervous about my balls getting cut off. And Jim's like, do you guys have any ranch? And Doug's like, yeah, I hear horror stories. And he's like, well, you know, just keep some mice in a bag, because it's going to hurt. Like, Jim's like the least helpful person ever. Also, it must really bug Jim to talk to Doug, because Jim's like, I'm a man. You want to go ride around in race cars? I know the race car owner or whatever. And Doug's like, I have a faux hawk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
I don't think Jim has been enthused to talk to anyone his entire life.
That's like, true.
Yeah, I had my balls snipped off, but, you know, we had a baby because I left a few deposits before. I saved some of my deposits. And Doug's like, I just made a deposit earlier today. And like, ha ha.
It's like an automatic machine now. It was so much harder when Doug had to do it. I mean, when Jim had to do it. Yeah. Put it in that big old trash can from the high school, keep it in the back seat or whatever.
Yeah, it was like the semen version of R2-D2.
But you can tell that Jim really hates Doug because he smiles at him. And Jim never smiles.
Yeah.
By the way, R2-D2. Please, you guys, please don't leave your cum in R2-D2. That guy has gone through enough.
That's, you know... These are not the droids we're looking for, okay? This is, you know, like, please don't turn R2-D2 into a semen refrigerator. That's just not That's just not this kind is, to him.
Poor R2-D2 is shorting out enough. Like, every movie he's in, he has, like, one bloop, 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 short out thing, you know?
I mean, that's not, I mean, you know, the poor operator's like, oh, like, uh-oh, R2-D2's broken. Let's just open him up to see what's like. Oh, my God, someone jerked off in R2-D2.
Although R2-D2 does do the best Liddy impersonation in America.
Bleep, bleep, bloop, bleep, bleep, bleep.
C-3PO. I feel like I feel like C-3PO has a little bit of Shannon Bador in him, too. R2? R2?
After the lobotomy.
And naturally, I think maybe Vicky would probably be Chewbacca.
No, she would need to enunciate casserole better. People need to understand what she's saying, because it's like year three that she's asking for a fucking casserole.
Yeah, actually, I think that Kelly is more like Chewbacca. It's not saying that like Kelly looks like some hairy beast. It's more that I feel like when Kelly gets drunk, she's probably like... That's what Kelly does when she gets really drunk.
Oh my God. So Lydia and Megan have a chance to talk. And Lydia's like, how was dinner? I felt left out. And Megan is wearing a diamond Bluetooth phone thing in her ear. It's like some earring that looks like a diamond Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. Megan's just hopeless. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, trying to think of what, where Megan would fit in the Star Wars universe first. And I just am. I'm not even sure.
She's Natalie Portman, right? I think just because she's so thin and she has like strong facial features.
I don't even think she's that. I think she's like one of those people that like got blown up on that planet in the, that one Star
You're
Wars.
Such gay Star Wars viewers. I don't even know.
I'm
what
like Lucille Bluth. Here, go see a Star Wars.
Like, why is there always a kid wandering around the desert? I just don't understand that show or those movies. Oh, you know what, Megan? I've seen all of them.
Megan King Edmonds are those things in Empire Strikes Back, those big lumbering machines that look like animals, but they have all the bad guys in them. That's what she is.
Oh, yeah.
Walking across the terrain. And, you know, they have to, like, fly around it with a cable and knock it over.
Yeah, she's like, I have a baby.
I can't believe you tie up my feet when I'm 7 months pregnant. They're like, wow, that, like, enemy thing is really whiny.
They're like, kill it. It's the one thing that unites the entire empire. Just kill that thing, please. So Megan's like, yeah, that was awkward. I guess I should have called you, but... And then it shows that hike where Lydia's like, well, you did the same thing. It's like, oh, I can't believe it, Lydia. You would think it's normal to attack someone's marriage. But Megan, someone has told Megan, like, you're looking like an asshole. Because now Megan is just... basically copying to everything the past couple of weeks and moving on, which makes me really like Megan again.
Yeah.
Not that I ever really didn't like her, but...
I just like Megan when she's being obnoxious more, as opposed to just, you know, telling self-satisfied anecdotes about her baby or being like, I like it when she is, like, got an axe to grind, and we just haven't seen that since her first season, really. Like, we've seen, like, little... We've seen it here and there this season, and she's even been like, oh, Megan King Edmonds is back, and I'm ready to investigate, but no, not really.
I think there's a plane landing on my house.
I heard a helicopter just now.
Jesus, it sounds like it's landing, like, right on top of
me. It might be. They're coming.
It's Megan.
It's Megan.
She's like, I had a baby.
Baby.
So Megan's like, well, it's because I'm hormonal and I'm not sleeping and I'm sure no one had evil feelings. And it's just funny that this is the second week in a row that Megan is apologizing for or like kind of copping to feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's funny. It's just rare on a Housewives show. And Lydia's like, well, you just don't know how it feels until you're not at dinner because you weren't invited. Does everyone have tattoos that say I hate Lydia? And Megan takes that literally and she's like, No.
That would cost a lot. I don't know where I'd put that tattoo.
That's a joke.
How could you do this to me when I just had a baby?
7 months after I was 7 months pregnant.
So Tamara shows up alone, and Doug's like, no date? Where's Eddie? And she's like, whack!
The producers must not like her, because they did a close-up of her cankles. I was like, ooh, even Tamara, you're doing that too? I thought that was just for MJ.
They hate everybody.
Yeah.
They're like, just leave the bitter person in the editing bay and get us a really top dollar music person to make songs out of the sound of tennis balls being hit.
Yeah, or golf balls is the word this week. So pretty much everyone arrives. Shannon and David arrive, and Lydia is like really not looking forward to greeting Shannon because she feels like Shannon's the one who excluded her from dinner, but she's going to do it anyway. And everyone's meeting, and Deco and David meet for the first time. And inside the boat, Tamara goes up to Kelly and is like, "Hey, Batch, did Peggy talk to you? She's not mad." I'm like, "You're such a shitster. You're such a shitster."
And Kelly's like, "Why would she be mad?" And Tamara's like, "Yeah, because last night you gave it to her." And she goes, "I wasn't mad. Was I mad at you, Peggy? I'm never mad." I think the question was, is Peggy mad? Not, are you mad? And Peggy's like, "Oh, why were you not there? Why were you not there, Lydia? Everyone but you."
Yeah.
And Peggy came to the dinner I organized.
No, but Peggy goes, because Lydia's wondering, like, why were you guys in a fight? Like, what happened? What was the beef? And Peggy's like, "Oh, you weren't there. Because I invited everybody, and I didn't invite you." It's a joke in Armenian. So Lydia's like, "Wait, it was you?" And then,
Count Chocula gets a stand-up career.
Yeah. What's the deal with doorknobs? They're not doors. I guess they're knobs. Why aren't they just called knobs? Why not? Why doorknobs? Why do you have to say doorknob? Just knob. Just knob. They're loud.
What is deal with taxi? It is not tax or I.
You're a regular Seinfeld, Peg.
Every time I take taxi, I still no see Christopher Lloyd. What's the deal?
And of course, Lydia has about as much sense of humor as everybody on this show. Yeah. She's like, "That was you?" And Tamara's like, "No, it was Shannon. Just kidding." And Shannon gets that look on her face.
Well, Shannon was over at the buffet. And she's like, "Oh, this looks good."
What did Shannon do to the people on this show? Every time they show Shannon, she's got a plate of food in her hand.
A broccoli floret. I love these. Like little trees.
I feel like at this point.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. But I feel like at this point they're photoshopping plates into Shannon's hand.
Yeah.
I don't even believe that Shannon really has a plate in her hand half the time. They're just like, "Okay, copy and paste that plate of broccoli into Shannon's hand again."
It's just like a Snapchat filter they put on her. It just automatically puts a plate in her hand and glasses and her Holly Hobby hat.
Kelly's like, "Yeah, I thought it was Shannon too, but no, it's Tamara." Ha ha. And then Lydia just walks away and Kelly goes, "Something I said," which is like every week now. Kelly's just like, "Something I said."
So Lydia's talking about the vasectomy and how she's excited to go off the pill.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but this is literally Star Wars, and Lydia does it. She's like, "I don't know what to believe or what to think. It's like they're all protecting Shannon. Like, oh, no one knows Yoda planned it. Like, invite me, please do."
Did she literally say that, the Yoda thing?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We're psychic, except we already saw that. But like,
and also we've mentioned Star Wars, I think, for 6 years in a row, at least 3 times a year. But yeah, she did. She talked about Yoda. And I was like, this is like someone gay who, like us, basically talking about Star Wars, because she don't even know what Yoda stands for.
It stands for "You only die alive."
Yoda is not inviting people to parties, okay?
No, so, but if you were, it'd be probably like a really lame party. Let's be honest. You know that Yoda throws bad parties. And you get there and you're like there's not really enough booze here and the snacks aren't good. Like there's just some like Trader Joe's crackers, but he doesn't have enough hummus. And he sits there and he talks about a new philosophy book he read. And you don't have to pretend like you're interested and you want to talk about the Real Housewives, but he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a TV." And then you have to like be self-deprecating and say, "I know, I should read more, but I just love these shows." And he laughs politely and introduces you to his friend, you know, like Karen, who's like a chem researcher, and she doesn't watch TV either. And then, but they're talking about this crazy thing they heard on NPR about Sarajevo and like how daffodils are being used to like harvest, like get bees to live there and improve things. And you're like, I just want to talk about Real Housewives.
And the only seating is like a floating lily pad, but the only one that floats is Yoda. And he's like, if you want it to float, you must learn to not gloat. It's like, oh, Jesus. I didn't come here to learn something spiritual, you motherfucker. Give me a plate of food. Give me a Photoshop plate of food in my hand and a lily pad that I can actually sit on and not think. You old motherfucker.
Yeah, and you're like, can I just have a Diet Coke? He's like, we don't have Diet Coke, not have we, but Whole Foods brand cola diet have I. You're like, I don't want some Whole Foods Diet Coke. It's not the same. It doesn't taste as good. Just stick with
you're
the
like
big brands.
Speaky Engly, okay, Yoda? Speaky Engly. It's like Yolanda Foster. And listen, you're like, you're immigrant. You need to know the language.
And you're like, okay. Like, it's been 45 minutes. I've put in my time. And then you, like, turn to your friend and be like, can we go now? But your friend is now, like, talking to someone. And they're having a conversation. And they're like, give me 5 minutes. And it's, like, been 10 minutes. So you start holding your coat to give a sign. And your friend's still talking. And you're like, oh, my God. Am I ever going to get to In-N-Out Burger?
Yoda. You know Yoda has the shittiest catering ever.
The worst. It's, like, sustainable granola bars.
Feed the soul. Shut up.
And he has like some shitty music. Actually, he doesn't have shitty music playing, but he has something that he thinks is really clever, like Gypsy Kings. It's like, okay, everyone plays Gypsy Kings at parties for like the past 20 years. Does not make you more cultured. It's nice, but like, of course he has Gypsy Kings on. And then you say something like, oh my God, you know who I actually secretly really love is Carly Rae Jepsen. And then he'll do that. Carly Rae, who, oh, she that Maybe I Call You song? And you're like, yes. And you have to pretend like you're sort of like embarrassed for liking Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, but really it's the only song title Yoda really gets because it's like formed in his language. He's like, call me, maybe. Like, oh, okay, finally. Finally some music that Yoda can get into. Thanks, Carly Rae.
Yeah, and he's like, I like Bon Iver. And you're like, ugh. Sorry.
I don't love it.
And you're like, what about the ketchup song? And he's like, ugh.
He's oh,
like,
my God.
Actually, ketchup has a lot of sugar in it. You're like, ugh, Yoda.
So speaking of Yoda, mm-hmm. Let's go back to Lydia.
Yeah.
Lydia is kind of like a little Yoda. It's like the Yoda of the teen years, you know?
Maybe more of an Ewok.
Oh my God. Okay, so Lydia's like, so we're on the harbor celebrating Doug's beautiful huevos. Oh, also, she's narrating things, first of all, not even in her talking heads. She's just narrating it at the party. She's like, so here we are. But what I was going to interrupt myself to say is I would like to thank that homeless guy, boat driver from the boat to the boat trip, yeah, Luke, Captain Luke. I would like to thank him on behalf of Lydia because he's the first person who's laughed at Bon Voyage. It's the first time she's like, we're going to a Bon Voyage. And he's like, ha, 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 like a big open mouth laugh.
At which point Doug then sliced off his hand. I'm just sticking to the Star Wars stuff. His name is Luke, for crying out loud. His name is Luke. Do we actually have a Darth Vader? We don't have, well, I guess that's Vicky. I have influenza B. Tamba. I'm your best friend.
Casserole. Tabra, I'm your casserole.
Milo.
So
may the Andales be with you.
Woohoo. So Shannon is eating. Just that's my main tent for this next paragraph of
so
this.
Yeah,
Shannon is eating.
Well, Lydia's
Lydia's like, so yay, huevos, and Shannon's like, well, David didn't have to snip his balls because he just waited till I went through menopause, so he didn't have to do anything. Ha
ha. 30 to 40 negative years of sex.
So outside, the husbands are talking. And Deco's like, you got your balls taken out? Why? You don't got no discipline? Just pull out! Pull out! Come on, pull out!
Yeah, he's... And he starts talking about how... Deco starts talking about how birth control... They were on birth control, but now they're not on anymore because it can cause cancer. And, you know, Peggy has the cancer thing. And David's like, oh, It's my opening. Okay, dear. So, your wife has cancer? Cancer? Hold dear on. Let me look at my notes.
Dear won't call me unsupportive. That's for sure.
Do you or do you not have cancer of the millimeter? I don't get this. Can you explain this, Deco?
What is your opinion on influenza B, dear? The queen of being it!
So is that related to Cardi B? I don't know.
How did this conversation go from pulling out and splooging all over Peggy to cancer? I was like, this is too awkward. I don't like this transition. So David starts questioning. He's like,
oh, your wife has cancer? Did? Not now? When? That's good. Did you put it in your eye, Cal? Can we check that with them?
Yeah.
And Deco's like, she had a double mastectomy. But 3 weeks prior, they did a biopsy and they said it was clear. And the BRCA said nothing. Then they found a mass, but not a lump, a mass. And then they found out 3 millimeters of this mass was cancerous.
I was like, these husbands are basically fighting a proxy war.
Yeah.
For well, their also, wives.
But they're also like, why does this need clarification? You know, again, she did a double mastectomy. I think, you know, this is not a Yolanda Foster lying on her bed waiting for someone to come and love her and send sympathy. This is not Brooks saying that he's been going through radiation and his hair hasn't fallen out and that he, you know, all this. This is a woman who, you know, she had her breasts, like, cut off, okay?
Yeah.
Like, this is not, this is like, just let her be, okay? If she's making up, she's already, like, dealt with the consequences of it, okay?
You know? she's not, like, rolling around in it. She's not, like, welcome to CAC.
Yeah.
What is this gag?
Pack.
Peggy all cancer. Okay? Peggy all cancer. Pack.
So David's like, wait a minute, dear. You just said she didn't have it. He's like, no! Oh, goodness gracious! He's like slapping his head.
Deco Binks.
So then they keep cutting back and forth. And inside, Tamara's like, I stop nervous, bitch! And Kelly's like, how do they do... How do they do it? How do they do his nuts? Do they do it through the nuts or do they do it through the dick hole? Lydia's like, they cauterize it with gold things. Please, none of you ever be nurses. Please.
Yeah.
Kelly trying to snip someone's nuts through their dick hole. My God.
Oh, God. I'm just excited for a season when we don't have to be plagued with doctor's visits and these sort of procedures. I'm like, I'm over it. I am
girl,
so
I've
over
had
all
friends
this.
Die of cancer, family members die of cancer. I've been on cancer deathbeds, and I've never talked about cancer as much as I have doing Watch What Crappens. And no one even really has it. It's like, it's never like even that serious of a thing of cancer. It's all weird fake. Or, I'm not saying Peggy's is fake, but you know, it's three millimeter. It's like the real cancer stuff, I still talk about it more on this show than ever in real life.
Exactly.
So sunset toast. Lydia's like, to Doug and his balls voyage. And everyone's like, oh, murmur. Yeah. Like, come on, Lydia. You got one laugh. Just let it die now, okay? And then Shannon goes, to Doug. And then there's complete silence. And you just hear, oh!
Even the seagulls are bored. Seagulls are like,
the seagulls are dissing Shannon.
The seagull's like, listen, I'm just here to get a fork to bring it to this mermaid, okay? I'll be back.
So Lydia's like, he did request a snip gift instead of a push present, Peggy. You look upset. Peggy's like, this vocabulary, I don't understand. And Shannon's like, well, when you push a baby out of your vagina, you give a gift. Kelly's like, do babies get pushed out of your vagina or dick holes? Kelly, just keep drinking, Kelly, please.
I mean, at this point, you would have thought I had a million gifts because I've been pushing David so hard to love me again. David?
Well, you think David deserves a push gift from pushing me away the past year.
I'm just kidding. We're so happy! David, I don't need any push gifts. I just need you to hold my hand like we used to. Look at me in the eyes, David. David, broccoli.
Someone please casually mention to David that I'm eating a broccoli. Thank you. Here's the dog!
It's like Ramona laughing overhead. So Lydia, Peggy's like, I pushed out 3 kids, no gift. I need 3 gifts. Within three gift with interest. And Deco's like, what is that ring on your finger?
That is the Coco ring. You had that. You got that ring when you made Coco. And she's like,
that is one. I need three.
I need three, and then the curse will be lifted. So then later on, Tamara's talking to Peggy about the cancer stuff and everything. And Tamara's like, hey, bitch, I felt so bad for you, you know, because everyone was ganging up on you. And I feel bad that you have to go through that, you know.
I'm like, I'm mad at myself for not stopping up, bitch.
You're such a giver, Tamara.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a good Christian, so I'm going to go tattletale on people and make Peggy mad about stuff that she doesn't even understand.
And it never works. Peggy, like, refuses to get mad at everyone for bullying her or whatever. So Tamara's
She goes, which part?
So then Kelly comes by, like, where's my purse? And there's, like, because Kelly has some sort of snakeskin purse, and Peggy will refuse to touch it. And it cuts to Kelly in the interview, holding up her purse to camera, being like, be afraid. It was funny.
Peggy's like, no, I don't care. Even if Tommy Hilfiger or whoever has snake skin, I say no.
I'm like, well, way to make a stand, Peggy. Yeah. So Tamara's like, you know what? This is just unfair. Because it's like everyone gangs up on one person, batch, and I've been batch, that batch. Tamara, no one ever ganged up on you, okay? And then they cut to her in Mexico running away when Dizzy called her mean.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Tamara, the one who is like the victim of all the bullying on Orange County. What about all those flashbacks of you against Gretchen, you against Gretchen, and you against Gretchen?
Against everybody.
Yeah.
Fucking Tamara. So Tamara DiDico, she's like, well, we have a little bit of the same sense of humor because it's like sarcastic. And he goes, oh, yeah, she's fun. She's hilarious, Peggy. Just a real fucking like barrel of monkeys, that Peggy. And Tamara's like, are you kidding? She's the queen of men. She's the queen of men.
What are you talking about? What world does Tamara live in?
Peggy has done nothing to nobody ever.
Yeah. She just has resting bitch face and that's it.
Yeah.
And Peggy's like, I appreciate, but why she no stick up for me at the moment?
I'm like, okay, Peggy. Okay, you're learning. You're learning to get mad at petty, stupid shit that Tamara makes you mad about. Well programmed.
Yeah. So now it's finally time for the vasectomy.
Oh, no. It's time for...
golf ball. Well, but meaning that they're saying, like, oh, well, tomorrow's the vasectomy. And then they cut to someone placing a ball down. You know, it's a very literal show. Someone placing a ball, then it's like the... then it was like the golf ball...
Super yeah, it's the mix. Tennis ball. Yeah, it's the tennis ball. Like, don't.
It was a full remix. Did you see they had like someone swinging at the golf ball, and then it was like coming back, like forward and backwards.
I love the music, like, Chris, on this show. So the doctor, Doug's like, my heart is racing. Okay, Doug, cut your hair.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So basically, the doctor is laughing, and Lydia's like, I'm gonna pray, and he's like, okay. The doctor. So she's like, dear Lord, please let Doug's nut still be great and wonderful. And the doctor's laughing. And she's like, no, I'm literally praying. Like, why is he laughing during my prayer? He just stands there laughing the whole time at her prayer. So then we cut to Kelly on the phone with Vicky. And now it's the golf song. I wrote tennis song, then golf song. I don't know, but I'm obsessed with the sports music.
I think what happened was, I think my original instinct was actually perhaps correct. I think that there was the vasectomy, and then he's like, okay, Doug, are you ready? It's like snip, 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 cut to the ball, golf ball montage, because the ball was a commentary about his testicles. And then after the golf balls, it's time for Kelly to get a colonic.
Tennis balls, golf balls, shit. Shit. Just so bags of shit being emptied from bodies.
Yeah, Kelly shows up to this place. She can't open the door because of her boobs. Also an ongoing theme with The Real Housewives on Monday night. And then Vicky shows up and she's like, I got my medical record so you can see I've got influenza B. She has to like basically carry around her medical records at all times now because no one believes her about any illness she has.
Yeah, because Kelly was like, what do you have, a head cold? Are you still sick? She's like, no, it's not a head cold. It's influenza B. Yeah. If good to be, look, I've got the Photoshop to prove it. So she whips out those records, and Kelly's like, who does that? Who brings their records, especially to a non-doctor?
Yeah.
Also, they had a parking sign outside that's like, Waters of Life clients, please don't park here. Okay, colonic people named Waters of Life. If I ever got towed by someone named Waters of Life, I would shit on your entire building. Like,
well, I think that's what they want.
Yeah, you don't get to tow cars. So Vicky's like, why do I bring up? Because I'm sick of it. And I want someone to say, hey, you want a casserole? Because that's what you do, okay? Ha! Ha ha! That's what you do when someone's sick. You bring up a casserole.
I have never gotten a casserole when I've been sick. Ever. Ever.
I don't want to think about casseroles during a colonic scene.
Yeah. That's, first of all, what do you think? Why do you think you got in this colonic situation in the first place? Too many casseroles, okay? Second of all, if I'm sick, I want some chicken soup. Matzo balls, so, maybe.
And then we get to balls. Balls. You see, it's worked on you. You're balls. Like, matzo balls soup. Matzo balls soup.
Yeah.
She's like, bonfires, matzo balls. Okay, Lydia, just sit down. So we cut back to Lydia, and Lydia calls Judy, and she's like, Mom, I'm scared. I'm feeling lightheaded. And she goes, oh, Lord, put your head between your knees. Let me direct your thoughts.
Oh, I'm falling off my rainbow.
God has a good plan for you. Now remember who you are. And Lydia goes, what does that have to do with Doug's balls? Who I am. Like, what? You suck at this. Bye, click.
Yeah, and then the doctor's like, okay, he's here. And she walks in, and Doug's just, like, sitting there in a chair, like, fully dressed, normal. Normally when we see people after surgery on any of these Housewives shows, it was like, ugh. But this, he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm done.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a little sweaty, but my faux hawk still stands. It's like, okay, great, great, great news that you guys are back. So back to Vicky. Vicky's, the lady's like, take a deep breath. And Vicky's like, oh, God. What happens when you open it? What happens? What happens? And Kelly goes, and then it starts whooshing out, and Kelly's like, oh, my God. Whoa. Oh, my God. Jesus. Wow.
I mean, we never thought that anything could top the Shahs of Sunset colonic from season 2, but little did we realize that Vicky Gunvalson was yet to unleash her feces on this world.
Oh, my God. This topped it for sure. And Vicky's like, did yours look like that?
It was like that little colonic machine was like smoking and shaking, and we're like, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 beep. Self-destruct in 10, 9, 8, 7. And then, like, literally, it was the scene from Star Wars where the planet exploded. It was like, oh no, and Princess Leia has to turn away. Oh, Mickey's colonic. We could have stopped him. And you know that going into Vicky's pooper is exactly like that scene in Star Wars where Luke Skywalker is in the Death Star flying his ship going down that canyon. That's what it looks like. That's from the poop eye view. Getting out of Vicky.
Oh my God, Vicky. But I love Kelly because she's like, no, mine didn't look like that at all. And she's like, is this your colon? Right here. And
she's like her sternum. Feeling.
She's tapping right under her chest. She's like, is this your colon? Is it? And then the doctor lady's like, well, I'm not sure. I'm like, really? You're not sure?
I think she's trying to be polite. I think she was trying to be polite to Vicky. Just be like, no, bitch, you don't have a colon up by your clavicle.
Oh my God. So Vicky is like, Vicky's sitting there just shitting all over the place. And she's like, well, you know, I'm going to the cardiologist because I'm 55. And I'm going to kill you. I'm going to the cardiologist because I'm 50.
I'm just trying to accurately recreate the scene. Go on.
And I said, I'm probably dying of a broken heart. What if she was doing that at the cardiologist? She's like, wait a minute.
Well, she's probably like, where's my heart? She's like tapping her ass. Like, you're all turned around now.
I'm going to die of a broken heart. Feel it. He's like, that is your tailbone, ma'am. So she's like, that's because of negativity. She's like, yeah, but I ended up in my life. Divorces. Brooks, Tamara. I don't know why I can't get it fixed. It's like one sucked out and the other one isn't. Like, Vicky. The reason you don't fix the shit, okay? You are the shit, okay?
I just like that Vicky's sitting there being like, I miss my friends. I just want to be in the same room as Tamara. I just want to be civil. I just want to go back to laughing. And Lily's like, here's your poop.
You are the shit in this figurative colonic, Vicky, yeah. Okay? Clear out your own shit. I love that Vicky's the victim of everything all the time. And she goes, it's literally toxic. I'm like, you are getting your shit taken. Can we save this for a lunch, you know? And Kelly goes, she can put a hard shell on the outside. I'm like, please don't talk about the hard shell. while she's it's like that ice cream hard shell. Everything that it's like casseroles, hard shells, candy shells. I don't want to think about that while Vicky's getting the poop sucked out of her, okay?
Yeah, especially because that ice cream hard shell is technically a magic shell, and there was definitely no magic happening in this scene.
Vicky's like, I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong? I'm like, she's literally Harvey Firesteining it. Harvey Firesteining it now.
I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
Give me some credit. I never said I was good. I always forget the lyrics to that the lines to that monologue. You always do it much better than I do.
Selfish.
Give me a little credit, will you? Credit for trying. To be the best brother I knew how to be. Whatever.
Vicky She's is like, Celeste Townsend.
I only have a little bit of life left. I want to be happy.
Okay, now you're dying. Vicky's like, okay, is this my sternum? I'm dying of a heart attack because I have a broken heart, and now I only have a little bit of life left.
Like, Rose, give my love to Venus. And she steps in front of the bus. Is that Vicky Gundelson?
Soap dish.
You know, maybe Vicky Gundelson would feel better about her life if she filled it with more exciting and wonderful things. You know, the sort of things that she could read in a magazine, perchance.
Another awkward transition from pooping to texture.
Yes. Yeah. I don't always like to use the words pooping and texture together, especially in the context of Vicky Gundelson. But the point is this. Texture is this wonderful app where you can basically read like every single magazine on your iPhone or iPad. I mean, when I say there's an asterisk. It's not every single, but it's like a ton. It's like,
yes.
You know what? It's basically like a colonic's worth of magazines, if you catch my drift. I mean, they have like Time Magazine and Better Home and Gardens, Canadian Health and Lifestyle, Car and Driver, Sports Illustrated, Entertainment Weekly, Vogue, Rolling Stone. I mean, everything. ESPN Magazine.
And these are not the computer website versions of these magazines. You know, These are the actual magazine pages. You flip through them like an actual magazine.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love saving me some money. And you know I read my texture because for weeks now I've been like, what's happening with Teresa? Because every time you pass a newsstand, it's like, Teresa,
I'm leaving Joe. Like what?
And then it's like, is she leaving Joe? Is she not leaving Joe? Every week there's a different thing. And girl, that's like a phone bill.
Yeah. And honestly, all these magazine prices have actually gone up a lot. If you ever like buy a magazine, they're like, I don't know, I feel like they're like $6, or they gave us subscriptions a lot. And texture is really cheap. And on top of that, you get all those magazines and you can read them all. And if you see a quote that you like, you can like copy and paste, which I know seems like a stupid thing to say, but I've used that before. That, you know, you can't copy and paste off of like, if you see a quote that you like in a regular magazine, you have to like sit there and type it out. That's annoying.
You have to like handwrite it to your mom. You're like, you will never believe what I heard about Teresa.
Exactly. Like, what if there's a funny comic in the New Yorker, and then you can just take a screenshot as opposed to being like, I've taken my phone and take a picture of it, and I've got to flatten it out so it doesn't look warped. You know, that's not right. That's not right.
Yes. Texture makes magazines easy. Texture is searchable. Texture is only $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/crappage, you get a 14-day free trial.
Yeah, it's like super good. Why subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have all of your favorites on your smartphone or tablet all the time for way less, okay?
I only have a little bit of life left, so I'm starting my Texture trial for free right now, and I'm downloading the Texture app.
On Fridays, my husband beats me with great deals, like texture.com/crappens.
Right now, Texture is offering my listeners a 14-day free trial when you go to texture.com/crappens. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/crappens. That's texture.com/crappens.
Too loud.
Too loud.
You're loud. So the good news for everyone, for all our Christian friends in Orange County, it's Easter time on Real Housewives of Orange County. Easter. Because what better way to follow up a whole bunch of shitting on a colonic than to see Easter? Chocolate
bunny. Yeah, chocolate eggs. Like another thing we don't need in a colonic episode. And you know what? They know that. Yeah. Okay, this is not all accidental. These people know what they're doing. They're like just stirring the shit for Easter. So it's Easter. And for the most religious town of all of the housewives, these people really don't understand religion very well. None of them really.
Yeah.
So Judy and Lydia are making the Easter eggs with the kids. and Vicky's making them with her grandkids. Nana, funny costume. I spiky hair.
Most importantly to me is that Peggy is making stuff with her kids, and Coco, Deco does something like, oh, Armenian tradition, and like, I don't know what it was, but Coco like hits an egg on his thumb. Coco got so excited. He is just my favorite. I love Coco. I love Coco.
I love Coco too. And Deco's like, oh, you broke an egg open. It's Armenian. That's so Armenian to do that.
Coco's like Deco's dancing,
just
all happy.
Everybody else is swallowing eggs whole in America.
This is why they decolonics on no the egg shell in home. Their stomach.
No egg in home, Coco. No egg in home. Coco. Coco. Stop throwing egg in basketball.
Stop playing egg in house.
No egg in house, Coco. No egg in house, Coco.
So Megan is like, hey, Aspen, we're going to make a baby footprint. And then we cut over to Shannon and her mom. And her mom's like, Pat. Are we going to make these?
Pat, I think like all the moms kind of sound the same on this show. Because her mom could be, we could be doing a Dot.
Dot or Pat or Nancy?
Yeah, Dot, Pat, Nancy, Mom!
Like all of Kit. Them kind of work.
Yeah, she could be a Kit.
I'm sorry I didn't come to your gotten the race party, Tamara.
So
like all the same mom voice with different ladies. So yeah. They're making big old Easter baskets for the kids, mm-hmm. and they're being wacky. And Shannon's like, "Gosh, she's a card, my mom."
She's a card.
That tiny zany part of me I inherited from mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, "God, the kid." I'm so sorry. I have so many notes, and I'm going through them. Like, you do not need to talk about this. You're already at 45 minutes. God damn it.
It's okay. I wrote down a note about how they made some sort of pink towel basket bunny thing that looked weird. Yeah, like, I have nothing to say about that. Why did I write that down?
Let's get to the crying part. So Shannon's like, well, my daughter wants to play beach volleyball. And the mom's like, yeah, she's a good sport. Well, not me. Since the weight gain. She's like, go to the doctor, Shannon. God damn it.
Just Shannon, the captain. Yeah.
I'll just make every mom the captain from below deck.
Yeah, well, God damn it. Get that taken care of, the goddamn doctor.
Oh, Shannon, I hate that banana.
So, yeah, Shannon's like, hey, well, you know what, David?
I hate exercise. Ever since I gained that weight because of Vicky Gunvalson, well, you know, I'm just afraid that if I go to the doctor, he's going to say that the weight gain isn't from just hormones. It's from David and Vicky Gunvalson.
So sad. She's like,
well, I just feel so shitty about myself when I look in the mirror. And David's disgusted with the whole thing. And I just, if I can justify it by saying he's ignoring me or pushing me away because I'm fat, at least that makes sense. And if I'm not fat, then it's some other reason. I'm like, yeah, but then you gained weight because Vicky was saying he had an affair, which was her fault because she was saying he had an affair or because he had an affair. Mm-hmm. It's like so nuts. And she knows it's nuts. Well, and it just fucking sucks.
Well, what's
so
devastating is when she said she looks at herself in the mirror and she says to herself,
this is why David is growing apart from you because look at you. Look at you.
And that was actually, you know, it's so terrible for anyone to have to say that about themselves. And yet I think we've all been there in a weird way. We don't think like, oh, someone's drifting away from me because of that. But there have been times where we feel shitty about ourselves and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're not happy with our bodies, unless you guys have a great body. And you look at yourself in the body, you're not where you want to be. And you say, look at you. Why can't you get your shit together? You know, if only you got this shit together, like, you'd be happier, you know? So I think
she's thinking of it so beyond that, because she's like, well, maybe I'm just fat because, you know, it's an excuse for him to stay away. And it's like more of a shallow excuse almost, you know? Like, she's making herself like that so she doesn't have to admit it's anything emotional or, like, there's a bigger problem, which is just so sad.
Yeah.
But it's also Shannon crying again. So part of me is like, okay, like, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen, and it just needs to stop. FF.
Yeah.
So the mom goes, well, you got to ask yourself, how do I make the marriage better? And Shannon just looks at her like, that is the worst answer anybody's ever given me.
She's like, well, I'm not going to go to a Spartan race, that's for sure.
So Shannon's like, will I get over it? Will I?
No.
She goes, no. As I'm so distant, I'm reminded of the period before the affair, you know, before I could forget about it because things were great. Shannon, When was that again? When was that part?
Rum's like, oh yeah, I didn't have Showtime then either. No, Mom, I'm not talking about the TV show, The Affair. I'm talking about David's Affair.
Yeah, but when was the part where you forgot? You've talked about it ever since the very first second you got on the show, and you haven't stopped. And I don't know how to fix it.
Well, the mom had
to feel better, get over it, but it's just like at some point.
Well, you know what, though? The mom,
cut the cord, darling.
Pat had good advice, which is basically like, focus on your life, make yourself healthy, do something, and like, you just go to the doctor, get checked up, check those hormones. You got to focus on yourself. And that's what Shannon actually really needs to do. And she mentioned it earlier this season with her restaurant idea. She needs to stop defining her happiness through David. And not saying that, like, oh, she should be fine with David being emotionally distant, because she shouldn't be. That's actually not right. And David shouldn't be, like, growing distant from her. If he is growing distant from Shannon, I would surmise it's probably not because of the weight gain. It's because of whatever that issue is that's causing the weight gain for her and causing him to grow distant. But she's taking it because of the weight gain. I don't know. This is just for
well, this
we
was
see.
A very good episode. This was a good episode for Shannon, I think, because we see this, and of course, my first instinct is like, "Oh my god!" But then later, we see David just being an all-out asshole.
Yeah,
and you really when it's easy to forget. You know, because he'll whip that out a couple of times this season. And God, that guy really is a fucking prick. When he gets those mean eyes, it's like, yeah. Oh, okay, I see. Because it's easy to start thinking, this is just Shannon being neurotic, because Shannon's always fucking neurotic. It's like, here she goes again. It's got to be, this is how I think of it. I'm not saying this is the truth, because I say this all the time and people get mad. But sometimes to me, it seems like, oh my God, there she goes again. It's like she has to be miserable. There always has to be something to bitch about. No. But then when you really see David in action, it's like, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. So, especially because you know your wife
is there.
First of all, yeah, we will get there. But first of all, your wife is a sensitive, a quote unquote reactive person to begin with. And that's who you married. And that's, you know, you know that going in. Second of all, she's in a sensitive state about her weight. And so, like, make an effort, bro.
Yeah, he's an asshole, which we'll get to in a second. So let's go over to Peggy's house, just because I love when Peggy pretends that she knows how to cook and everybody's like, oh, this sounds great. Coco's like, can I eat this? I'm hungry. And she's like, no, look, Easter is very important. Especially in Armenian household. Christ is very important.
We invented all Christianity.
Yes, we were the first to accept Christ. It's like, what? Wait a minute. Is that true?
Well, we looked that up earlier in the season. I'm not going to look it up again, but there was... There's some technicality that Armenia does have a claim to something like that. Like they were the first like government to recognize it, something like that. Fine, I'll look it up. I'll look it up because I don't want people to be like, no. Okay, so.
Well, Armenia, I think the first one to accept Christ was like Mary, you know, or like whoever had him. Well, Mary had him. Or like Joseph, you know, or the wise men, or the shepherds, or whoever the hell was over there. Unless they were all Armenians, so but I don't remember anybody showing up in a Lamborghini. I remember some donkeys, some sheep.
Well, according to the Armenian Apostolic Church Wikipedia entry, Armenia was the first country to adopt Christianity as its official religion in the early 4th century. So I think the technicality is not that they were the first believers. It was just that it was the first, you know,
we
official
were the first,
government.
We were the first to adopt Christ. Actually, that was Joseph, too. What if the wise men just all showed up, like, with black and white sheep? They're, like, split down the middle.
I'm Jewish. I have no idea what you're talking about. Black and white sheep split down the middle.
So stupid. So she's like, yay, Jesus. Okay, let's talk about David. So she's like, kids, David? You will David? Never believe this. First of all, your kids do not need to know all your drama with your girlfriends. Like, let them have lives, please. They just got to their first store, you know. They're like, you're sheltering us, Mom.
Yeah. By the way, I wrote down a note. I said, Coco is hungry. Was he hungry? I don't know why I wrote that down.
He's like, can I eat? Coco, that's all Coco asked the whole scene. He's like, can I eat now? She's like, no. First, we talk about David. He asked your father all these questions about cancer. Does she? Does she not? What is going on? Yeah. Who's that?
What is cancer? What is a millimeter? 3? 25? What?
So the daughter's like, maybe Shannon told David to ask the questions. Maybe, like, you know, she set him up. And then Peggy's like, I don't, but you know, the questions, they were not from concern. They're not from concern. Like, I'm disgusted. I don't get loud.
You know I don't. But disgusted.
I'm almost as disgusted when I find out that Coco been playing ball in the house. Coco. No ball in the house. No ball in the house.
Can I please eat? No egg in house. So Judy and Lydia. So
here's a breadstick.
Lydia's like, or Judy's like, yay, it's Easter when Jesus made donuts. Let's eat some donuts, kids. And she's like, wait a minute, that is not Easter at all.
So Doug is like, hey, kids, did you know that there's a woman in the Bible named Lydia and she sold purple clothing? And they're like, why the fuck would we know that, Dad? We don't care. We like to color in turtles, you know, like this is...
Did she scare her parents about being burned to death in a Spartan race? He's like, actually, yes, that did happen in the Bible quite often. So Judy's like, well, each color is a chakra and purple is the highest color. And she's like, and Lydia's like, we're talking about Jesus, Mom. She goes, well, that's why kings and queens wear purple.
I don't know why kings and queens wore purple, but I don't think it's because of the chakras. I feel like it probably was like purple dye was probably hard to come across back in, you know, 1213 AD. So, you know.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that both Lydia and Judy are probably wrong about everything having to do with Jesus.
I feel like they don't know. I feel like Lydia is probably more on the mark than Judy is.
Well, she thinks that like drag queens are bad at the Bible. I don't think they even had drag queens in the Bible.
By the way, for those, of course, I think like probably half of them were drag queens wearing robes and being dramatic, like, you know, like, oh my God, there's a bush on fire. I mean, that is so drag queen.
Look, I bought you something called frankincense. Don't tell me I don't have a sense of humor. And my name is Frank.
Bitch, I'm going to make frogs come out of the sky.
B-13. Like, okay, Joseph, have a seat.
I had a dream last night. Oh my God. There were 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. Like, oh my God. Oh my God, Joseph. Like, calm down. So for those of you wondering why the color purple has been associated with royalty, it's because the purple's elite status stemmed from the rarity and the cost of the dye originally used to produce it. Batch!
Take that, Jesus, batch! So
are people going to be mad at us that we're saying people in the Bible are drag queens?
No. My God.
This is a crazy episode.
This really is. I think if people are mad, they've already just turned this off. I mean, we spent 30 minutes on the Balls Voyage party. We talked about broccoli, I think, for 30 minutes.
I think people are probably more angry that we bastardize many of the tropes of Star Wars. Like, what's that thing that walks around Empire Strikes Back that falls? I think it's called the Landwalker or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Well, let's get back to David now, because now we see this David. David basically has an audience, right? He has the mom there.
Yeah.
So he has someone to, I guess, say, look how crazy Shannon is. So now he's going to fuck with Shannon in front of her. It's just a dick move. So Pat's getting Thanksgiving ready, and he's like,
Easter.
He's like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean. So he's like,
a very good planner. So
let me tell you, Grandier Pat. We never eat like this. We go to the taco stand.
And
as Shannon's pulling stuff out of the oven in every episode ever. Like, Shannon doesn't cook.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know, like, I felt like there were so many passive-aggressive layers to that comment, because it's sort of saying we normally eat shit, or it's normally so bad we have to go to the taco stand, or maybe Shannon never cooks for us, so we have to go to the taco stand. Or finally I get to cook something. I didn't know what it was, but I just felt like I was getting assaulted all sorts of passive aggression.
Yeah, it's an asshole move. Whatever reason it was, none of those were him just being nice, you know?
Yeah.
So the mom's like, yeah, well, remember when you came to Thanksgiving Day and the table was set already? And Shannon, of course, is going to cry about it. She's like, well, my mom came for Thanksgiving right when David had an affair. It's like, oh my God, even your Thanksgivings are marked by this. And she goes, I'm not laughing. I'm not even laughing because this is so sad. She goes, the first thing she did when we announced that he had had an affair was hug him and say, I love you. Oh, wait, Shannon, was this your Thanksgiving talk? Because you know it was. It's like, well, happy Thanksgiving. Let's all give thanks for David having an affair on your mother. Like, have those kids ever had one meal in this house that's not full of fucking misery?
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed on Thanksgiving by David's affair. What happened with the Mayflower? Who knows? I'm dead. Affaired on.
So they set up a buffet, the mom's like, oh, this looks good, huh? And Shannon goes, well, we'll serve ourselves and eat in the dining room. And David goes, oh, how fancy, dear. She goes, we're eating in the dining room, David. What's fancy about that? Now, here I'm thinking Shannon's just being mean to David. You know, like he's getting some jabs in, but she's just being mean.
And there's like this very cold taco-making moment where they're all sort of like quietly scooping up beans and shrimp and like those unspoken words amongst the chafers.
Oh, and the poor kids. God. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't even care at this point who is wrong and who's right in this relationship. You're both being fucking awful parents by doing this to your kids. Yeah. Your kids do not deserve this. Get your own shit together. Your kids didn't cheat on you. They don't deserve this. They're going to have really rough relationships growing up and trust issues. And guess what? It's both of your fault, you assholes. How about you take your selfish bullshit and you cry about this shit when the kids aren't there and stop ruining every goddamn meal they have?
I feel like Ronnie had his own shrimp taco meal ruined at some point. This is touching a nerve.
Oh my God, that's why I learned to tap dance. Like, I literally learned to tap dance around emotional issues at the table. Keep this shit away from me, please.
Well, to be fair, I interrupted you and you were like, oh, well, Shannon was being awful. And I feel like you were about to say, but you start to realize.
Well, this is where we see. Yeah, then I started like projecting my own childhood issues. Yeah.
So,
David did start just being an asshole. Now he's just like unleashing it. And you can tell with those evil, evil deer in a headlight eyes because they stop being completely popped open and they start narrowing a little bit.
Yeah. And so they're talking about Sophie learning to drive. And Shannon relays a story about, oh, well, when I was young and attractive, and like now, because of Vicky Gumbelson weight that's turning David away, when I was young, I remember. The first time I drove to school, and I was low, and there was no gas in the car. So I went to the gas station, and I backed up the car just a little bit, and I happened to hit the gas tank just a little, and I knocked over a big glass antique ball that was on top of the gas thing.
Ha!
Ha! Yeah.
So this is the first time that Shannon has smiled this entire day.
Yeah.
Or this entire week that we've seen. So she's finally lightening up the mood, and that's when David's like, well, that's what happens when you don't take the silver spoon out of your mouth, dear.
What does one thing have to do with another, David Bedore? I don't understand how a silver like, growing up privileged means that you were more prone to backing your car into a gas tank that has a glass globe on it. No one knows how to do it right
the first time they go to the gas station, you fucking asshole. You didn't either, and you were poor.
Yeah, why don't you laugh? It was a funny story.
Also, you married a rich woman, and you're going to shame her for being rich with your poor ass? You went and found a fucking sugar mama to help you build your entire fucking empire, and now you're going to give her shit for being rich when she was young? Fuck you, dude.
Although I heard that David had money, too. But it doesn't matter. The point is...
He does now. He came from poor.
The point is, I would never say something like that to my boyfriend. And if he said something like that to me, it would be an issue. Like, that's just, it's rude. And again, you know, you make a good point. They're married. This is what you marry. You accept your spouse for who they are, where they came from, etc. And like, there's a way to make that joke, but I don't even know how to make that joke.
He's just being a cut fitness. It's not even a joke. He's just being an asshole. And the kid goes, one of the kids is like, Dad, we get it. It's like, God, we just got mom to laugh. Can we just eat some fish?
Yeah. You
know? And Shannon's like, well, I wheeled barrows. I was affluent, but I came from a place where I had to wheelbarrow apples to my mom.
I volunteered at the library, and I would put books back on the shelf. And sometimes I would volunteer to help people to figure out what sort of jewelry they'd like at Tiffany's.
Oh, my God. And Shannon's like, are we done? Did everyone get enough? Kids in America, yes, we all fucking got enough. Can we all get up from this table before we all kill ourselves?
Yeah, seriously. Thanks. And he's like, I'm kidding, dear. No. too late. We see your eyes. Those are not kidding eyes.
I just sneezed. That's how disgusting you're being, David. And I cannot wait until Shannon leaves your stupid ass and takes all of her family money with her and just is alone and happy because you're an asshole.
Yeah, I just would like to interrupt this to say that one thing that I really appreciate about our listeners is their dedication to our show. Just got a text message from Catherine Spears, who Catherine's been a guest on our show. She's currently in Paris, and she is in Cemetery, the Père Lachaise Cemetery, and she took a picture of a sign that says Chemin de Lesseps. I was like, you know, I like that in the middle of her vacation, she's willing to spend her data to send a photo that says de Lesseps on it to us.
And she's the foodie, and we were just at dinner at Shannon's house. I mean, it's just all full circle.
Full circle.
So since this is going on forever, let's just get past these last few things really quickly. Basically, Vicky to Steve is like, oh my God, I need to talk to Tamara. And he's like, well, hola, muchacha, or whatever. So he makes her go talk to Tamara. And then Tamara's at Cut Fitness talking to Lydia. And she's like, I guess I'll talk to Vicky.
Well, I just want to say that one thing that was funny about this Cut Fitness scene was that Tamara's like, because Lydia was there with Tamara, and she's like, you know, it's a crazy batch. I have like a rash. And then she goes, you know, you connect differently with another Christian. I'm like, you know, I'm so glad that like you could really share that rash on a different spiritual level with Lydia than like a normal person.
Yeah, I've got bumps on my arms, and it's Vicky's fault because that's from stress. I was like, Vicky has caused more diseases than the Zika. Like the original Zika mosquito. Like, for Christ's sake, Vicky didn't do everything, okay? This is also the beginning of Tamara's cancer storyline, everybody. So,
was it?
Yeah, this is Tamara criticizes everybody and then just takes their storyline. She's like, I hate that Jesus Barbie bitch. I'm Christian. I hate that fake cancer shit. I have skin cancer and it's Vicky's fault. It's like, oh, jeez. So,
Vicky gets one more cancer moment in, because she's like, this issue with Tamara, it's like a cancer inside me. It's like a cancer. I'm like, Vicky, you can't, don't go down that path again. Don't go down the path.
Yeah, it's like Vicky is already whipping out medical records, you know? It's almost a cancer. Look, I have this from my doctor, the water lady. it's a Photoshop of almost cancer inside of me.
So basically, they get on the phone, and once again, they decide that they're going to meet up and just put this whole thing to bed until the next time it flares up 20 minutes later.
But at least we get a nice positive ending. Ball! Yeah. I want to play ball! It's literally the kid running around screaming ball.
Yeah. Ball!
The ball away. So Vicky calls Tamara. Also, when Tamara agreed to see Vicky, Lydia's like, oh my God, I'm a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
You need to pray for better things.
Yeah.
This is like the dumbest prayer I've ever heard. So Vicky calls. She's like, look, we got to talk. Okay. Okay. It's like, great, guys. Let's do that. Let's let it end now.
Balls.
Well, and that was that. Another exciting episode of Orange County.
How is it the most boring-ass episodes, we get the longest podcast episodes out of them?
Well, I didn't think it was that boring because we got some classic Shannon and David passive aggression, which is my favorite.
Yeah, I love, we got some, it relit my David's an asshole fire, and I needed that.
Yeah, that's good.
I needed it.
I think we all needed that. So, everyone, I hope you're all feeling replenished by this recap. We will be back mañana to discuss Real Housewives of Dallas and their trip to Mexico. And go buy those tickets. But buy those tickets for our San Francisco show, because there's not a lot left. And until then, you know, follow us on social media. How about that? How about that? Follow us on social media. And we will talk to everyone tomorrow. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.